Good afternoon. I'm Dave Luskuski, Group President of the Printing Impressions Publishing Group, and I'm pleased to welcome you to today's live webinar, Who's Making Money at Digital/VDP and How?, presented by Printing Impressions and sponsored by Osei, a Canon company. Before we get started, let me point out a few tips on how to make the most of today's live webinar. First, if you have any technical difficulties, troubleshoot by clicking on the Help widget at the bottom of the console marked with a question mark, or let us know via the Q&A box. You can also use the Q&A box to submit your questions to today's panelists. We'll be addressing select questions at the end of the hour, and you can send them in at any time. Please make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can utilize all of the widgets and the bells and whistles on this console. Speaking of bells and whistles, please click on the Tips for Attendees widget below to learn what all of the widgets on this console do and how you can customize your experience today. If you leave the presentation at any time, you can access the entire webinar on demand for the next 90 days via the same audience link that you used to watch the presentation today. After that, the webinar can be viewed from the Printing Impressions website at www.piworld.com/webinar. And finally, we encourage you to tweet about this webinar today, so simply click on the Twitter widget below, and you'll be able to tweet right from within this console. So this is the fourth and final webinar in our series on selling digital printing, and a special thanks goes out to our sponsor, Osei. You know, every digital printing challenge that you are experiencing today has probably been conquered by someone else, and this webinar is going to show you what the best of the best are doing today. So I'd like to welcome back our resident selling experts, Bill Farquharson and Kelly Malazzi, who are going to help you save time by learning the right formula for building your digital business. Both Bill and Kelly have sold digital printing and have dealt with the exact same challenges and objections that you face every day. And I'm confident that over the next hour, you're going to learn something practical that's going to help you grow your business. So Bill, Kelly, let's talk about who's making money on digital printing.
Outstanding. Thanks, Dave. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Bill.
How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. It's a beautiful day in Chicago.
Well, send it this way. We need it in Boston. David mentioned how to make the most of this material, and I would encourage you all to reach out to Kelly. There's her contact information, successinprint.net, and my company, which is aspire4.com. And if you have got any follow-up questions, we will be happy to deliver that information. So, whoops, this one looks a little cockeyed. Sorry about that. So far, let's talk a little bit about what we've done. You heard Dave say this is the fourth in a series. And in the last few here, what we've done so far is we've told you where to look for leads. We told you what to say, how to do research on those companies. We have talked about a plan for putting together a prospecting process. And today, we're going to talk about making some money. So here's today's agenda. And Dave also mentioned that Kelly and I have been involved in selling digital and variable. Kelly, why don't you tell us a little bit about where you've come from and what your background is so that folks know why we should listen to you.
Well, after I graduated from college, I started selling digital printing back in the early 90s, so I guess it's going on 20 years I've been selling. And I worked for a variety of different companies from small little mom and pops all the way up to R.R. Donnelly, and then most recently worked for Canon, our sponsor today, selling commercial equipment to printers. And then a year and a half ago, I started my own consulting and coaching business. When I had my twin girls, and so Bill and I have been working together for about a good year and a half, and I've been blogging for Printing Impressions. I've been kind of all over the place out there selling digital from way back in the days when Canon color copiers did 7 copies a minute. So that's my story. How about you, Bill? Tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I started selling digital in 1990, actually. I remember reading the Wall Street Journal about this piece of equipment that was going to revolutionize the print industry, and I was already in business for myself at the time. And I got into training when I wrote some training curriculum for just about all the major digital printing equipment vendors out there. So I've sold this, I have taught this, and that's where Kelly and I actually bumped into each other, is that she was a client of mine that we've had contact. We laughed at this because we've known each other for 10 years. We've seen each other face-to-face 3 times, and we presented for the first time together last week at Graph Expo, which was an awful lot of fun. So all these things on the agenda today, the digital basics, definitions of customers, we'll talk about who's making money, we'll something about variable, and we'll talk about the 7 habits of highly profitable digital print providers. These are things that Kelly and I have lived. This is not just a pie chart and a graph and a promise. These are issues that we have faced. These are challenges we have conquered. I want to do kind of a quick review, Reader's Digest quick review, on what we have, some of the major points that we have thrown out there so far. And I'm not going to go over these bullet point by bullet point. I really only want to cover a few of them. The first one is this first bullet point: solve the problem, earn the order. That was the selling motto of a company from Kelly's Way, actually, in Barrington, Illinois, UARCO Business Forms. That's the company that trained me right out of college. And it really stuck with me. Solve the problem. Go after the issue. You know, if you focus on price, if you focus on the printed piece and how much they're going to pay for it, you're going to end up with hearing the phrase, your price is too high. If you learn the story behind the printed piece, we were taught, then you can come up with the best print solution. Solve the problem, earn the order. And as I think about digital and variable data prints, I can't think of a better slogan, I guess, for how to sell that. Solve the problem. Figure out what it does. Figure out what the needs are, because there might be a digital and variable solution to that. The second thing that I want to point out on the slide is the third bullet point, the new definition of the loyal customer. When I first started selling forms in 1982, we were taught by the veteran sales reps that if you own the negatives and you own the plates, you own the customer. Kelly, what's the new definition of the loyal customer?
It's all about the digital files.
Exactly. It's all about the digital file. If you can own that client's file, if you are technically superior to your competition, hear that again. If you are technically superior to your competition, you will attract the right kind of customer. That right there is one of the major points that Kelly and I want to get across to you. The equipment is terrific. The staffing is wonderful. But your ability to handle difficult files is paramount. Now, the third thing that's on this slide that I want to point out is that bottom point, that your salespeople have got to stop selling print. They've got to move from a sales mentality to a marketing mentality. Kelly, we talked about this last week. This was basically what we were chatting about in Chicago, right?
Definitely.
In a nutshell, what does that mean in a nutshell?
Well, it really means that you need to understand kind of what your customers' goals are and what their whole purpose is for why they're ordering the printed materials that you're producing, and really understand what they're trying to accomplish and what their end game is. So if you understand that they're trying to sell more of their product, gain customers and things like that, you'll be able to have a conversation with them that's much more meaningful and actually positions you as a consultant, as somebody who's a resource, as somebody who comes to them with creativity and ideas rather than, I can get you a good deal on a price per thousand on postcards. So, again, it's a different kind of mindset. It's a different approach, and it's a different knowledge base. It doesn't mean you have to go back to college and get a master's degree in marketing, but you need to be able to ask a different kind of set of questions. So, again, you need to understand, what are you trying to accomplish? What is this piece going to do for you? How will you know if it's successful? You know, you need to develop an arsenal of questions that are focused on that kind of a process, and that's really what takes you from being a print salesperson to a marketing consultant or a subject matter expert.
Not to mention the fact that you will be brought in at the design stage of the job instead of the quote stage of the job. So some more points here. The other thing I want to point out here, that top point, there's no untapped market for digital. There is no untapped market. You've got to find this. You've got to identify it. You've got to grow it. You've got to train it. And I tell you, as you listen to this presentation today, you'll hear a lot of examples of the digitally capable printer reaching out and saying, here's an option for you. Here's another way to solve that. I've done it for a long, long time. I've been to a lot of different programs and conferences and trade shows, and you know, you hear about these one fantastic applications, and somebody had to sit down and say, my equipment has got a great capability that can solve that problem for you. It really is, as Kelly just said, a different way of thinking. One of the other things that we want to do, want you to understand, is a key concept here, like the 20-to-1 ratio. Kelly, walk us through this. What does this mean?
This basically means that for every $1 that your customer spends on the actual print cost of a piece, they spend another $20 using it. And that's a really, really important thing for you to start to understand and embrace, and it will help you to change your focus of your approach with these folks, which is, you know, this is, again, this dollar that they spend to print it, they're storing it, they're shipping it, they're using it all these different ways, and that's adding a lot more cost to it. So when you start to understand and focus on that $20 area and ways to bring that cost down, again, your value increases extremely with these folks. So, for example, if they've got, you know, if let's say they print a million of something and they warehouse it in a facility and, you know, somebody goes in and pulls it and ships it out every time somebody calls and asks for it, our focus might be, let's make this a little more efficient. Let's make this a little more green, a little more on demand. And that's really the whole kind of lexicon behind digital printing is we can print just as many as you need. You can print versions of things. You can, you know, again, print exactly what you need today and maybe even print it locally somewhere. Reduce shipping costs, reduce usage costs. And again, it really helps you to have that conversation with these customers and prospects that helps them lower overall cost while increasing the value of the documents, which is a very, very valuable thing that they're trying to accomplish today. And kind of that's what this next slide is talking about, that the vocabulary that you use or the approach that you use with any prospect with regard to digital is, I can promise to do one of two things for you. I can either reduce the usage cost of the document by just in time, by on demand, you know, by whatever your solution is, or I can increase the value of the document. I can make this postcard create more sales for you by, let's maybe make it variable, or let's maybe include a QR code or a pearl or something like that. So again, regardless of, you know, the bigger picture of what applications you're really good at, and we're going to get into that, and that's a really, really important point, is just by having that dialogue with somebody, I can either reduce the usage cost or I can increase the value. That gets people's attention. Now you're talking differently than every other print rep out there who's just talking about the price of the piece. And that's how you're really gonna get attention and really make something happen with digital.
As Dave said, the material that we just talked about, that we just covered really quickly, is available on replay. You can access those past webinars that we've done for our friends at OSE this summer. And I think fall starts tomorrow, doesn't it? So it's the day after. We're, you know, just squeezing this in. So
Friday.
Killing me. So then today we're talking about who's making money, and it really comes down to six salient points. Understanding who your target market is and understanding who your target market is not. Then building those renewable digital annuities. And that's, again, that's where Kelly and I both lived. Looking for those applications where you can just go from one niche to another to another to another and just moving right up the food chain. Third thing is how to market it. And it's not as difficult as it's made to sound. The fourth one is probably more difficult than it's made to sound, and that's engaging the printing sales rep. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about the point that Kelly made earlier, is making the digital file the centerpiece, not the equipment so much, but your ability to manage that digital file. And then the last part is to understand how to charge for it. So first then is to figure out who your customer is and who your customer isn't. And this doesn't happen as much anymore, but, you know, I remember in the old days when we would talk about digital, there was always that guy we used to call Mr. I Don't Know. And this guy would walk in and he'd hand something to the, you know, something electronic across the counter and say, I need 500 of these outputs. And the clerk would look and say, well, what's on this disk? What's on this file? And the guy would say, I don't know. Well, is it a PC? Is it a Mac? I don't know. Is it print ready? I don't know. Are the fonts and graphics included? I don't know. That's not the guy that you want to have as a customer, because this is a guy that's creating newsletters in Excel. And he doesn't want to pay you to work on the file. He doesn't. All he wants is to get these output as if it's magic. Just like it works at home, he wants them to work here. He doesn't understand that the file is not going to work if it's not formatted properly. That part is your fault. The other part that's out there are the ones that are the technically sound, the ones that will, where your message of technical superiority will resonate. Now, you heard Kelly I say earlier, how do you know when you're doing it right? It's kind of simple, isn't it, Kelly? And if somebody calls up and says, hey, I've got a program that I'm, a file that I'm working with here in InDesign, do you guys handle InDesign? That's pretty much how you know someone's doing it, how you're doing it right, correct, Kelly?
Yeah, that's a good indication. It's a good starting point anyway, sure.
Okay. So what the client needs to know, the client needs to know what an application looks like. Kelly, how do I, that's really the big point here, how do I educate my client base for them to know what a digital printing application looks like? Because if I'm understanding this right, I want my clients to be in, say, a 2012 planning meeting where the boss says, hey, we're going to launch a new product, and have someone say, wow, you know what, I was talking to Kelly Malazzi, and she had this great idea. Maybe this applies. How do I connect those dots for my customers, Kelly?
Well, it's really asking the right questions. It's really trying to figure out, again, who their customers are, what they've tried in the past, and you know, really what they're trying to accomplish and how they're going to go about doing it. Because, you know, what we hear a lot of times from our customers, and maybe some of you out there are hearing the same thing, well, the customers aren't printing anything anymore. They've decided to do everything online. They're using social media for all their promotions, you know, things like that. So we want to ask those questions, well, how is that working right now? And what are you doing? And what are the results of that? And what do you hope to accomplish in 2012? And then start thinking, obviously, you're going to ask those questions, but you're going to lead them down the path of whatever your strong suits are. So if you're a direct mail expert, you're going to reintroduce the concept of what if we started some targeted, personalized mailing campaigns? What kind of impact would that have on your business? What kind of meaning would there be in having a one-to-one conversation with each customer to launch that new product? And, you know, and then being able to show some samples of what that is and what that looks like and how that would actually happen. Those are the things. So whether you get those stories internally from other customers that you've worked for, and we call that anecdotal selling, or whether you go to a source and get some case studies and look at other companies that are doing it well and then figure out who within your customer base you could also help with that. I mean, it's really, again, it's about being consultative. It's about asking questions, using those kind of what-if leaders, you know, what if we could do this, what if we could do that, that really helps you to start that conversation with the customer that, again, is helping you lead them down that path toward a digital solution, and it's also differentiating you from every other, you know, static commercial printer out there who just wants to print 10,000 and doesn't really care about what the result is.
But the other thing is those questions do. And again, here are the questions that Kelly just asked. What if? What kind of? What would be the impact of? Those are all terrific, leading, open-ended questions that not only pull out the information out of the customer that moves you from a salesperson to a marketing person, because now they're talking, you're listening, you're coming up with a solution. It also helps you to identify the ideal customer. If someone's nodding their head and you can hear a rattle and they're going to get down to, well, then what's this going to cost me? Probably not on your A-list. But if there's someone that looks back at you and says, so Kelly, what if I could, and then they spit something back at you, a hypothetical or something that they're working on, that's awesome. Someone who grabs that 20-to-1 ratio and embraces it and understands the difference between the cost of the document, the cost of using that document. Someone who says, you know what, we've got a terrific database. In fact, we just cleaned it up. Boom, great sign, great sign. Someone who really thinks in those digital terms, because what we found, both Kelly and I found, that once customers go digital, they don't go back. They start thinking creatively. They start planning for your the short run, the high impact document. So your job then is to identify those key prospects and to train them. Now, Kelly, let's talk for a second. Actually, let's talk about marketing, but let's talk very quickly about training the digital customer. How do you educate them to, and what kind of education do they need? What did you do way back when?
Well, again, I really think it, in addition to asking those questions and really getting a handle on what they're trying to accomplish and how, is what I referred to earlier as anecdotal selling. And again, if that comes from your shop, that's great. We had a customer that had this problem. This is what we did for them, and this was the result. It's a great way to sell by saying, you know, a customer just like you had this problem. This was how we solved it, and here, you know, they had a 12% response rate on this personalized direct mail campaign. So it's case studies. Now, they don't have to be all, you know, printed up and written and print, you know, printed out to, in order to be useful to you. You can just set, you can use it, you know, kind of verbally and say, this is what I did for this customer. And it doesn't even have to be you necessarily. It could be somebody else within your organization. It could be the owner of your company. Now, if you're just getting started in this, it could be these are the kinds of things that companies like yours have tried in the past with regard to digital printing. And you can go to a lot of great kind of repositories for these case studies. I know, Bill, we mentioned a few of them last week at Graph Expo, but I know D-Scoop's got them, and InfoTrends, I think, has them, and there was one other one I was missing.
PODI.
PODI, thank you. Yeah. Yep, so, you know, depending on, and, you know, it makes a lot of sense to spend some time really figuring out what vertical market, what application you want to start with and get really good at, even if it's just one. And I know Bill will probably tell a story about that a little bit later, but let's say you just want to go after recruitment in colleges. Well, then you say, you know, we did this project for Elmhurst College, and they had, you know, a 14% increase in applicants the next year after we ran this program. That's the kind of language you want to be using, and the way that you want to educate these people is really to open their eyes and show them what's possible.
And, you know, Kelly, you talked about recruiting at colleges. That bottom point there, digital printing is like vitamin E. And what that refers to, when I went to school at UMass Amherst many years ago now, 25 or 30 years ago, whatever it was, I took a class called Food Science and Nature or something like that, and I remember the professor saying that when vitamin E was discovered, they called it a cure, looking for a disease. And when digital printing came around, that's exactly what it was. It was a cure looking for a disease. They didn't quite know where it fit. Well, your job is to understand where digital printing fits, to figure out the language, to figure out the application, and then anecdotally sell that to the customer. I love the anecdotal sale. I think it's very, very important to grasp that. So then you're doing it right, I think, when, as you pointed out, when you are attracting that phone call that says, I understand that you are an expert in the software that I use. You will find that the price objections drop. Why? Because you're coming up with the best print solution. Again, solve the problem, earn the order. That's how you beat the price objection with digital. You sell it out of the equation. But someone's saying, so I'm going to get a double-digit response rate. What would you pay for that? Man, people would, they'll make you VP of marketing if you can get a 4% response. So you'll know when this thing is working, even as simply as you get a phone call saying, hey, we're having our 2012 meeting, and we want to bring you in to sit down and listen. Building those digital annuities then, you know, there was a very interesting question came up in the middle of towards the end of our presentation last week at Graph Expo. And Kelly, I believe you know this gentleman, but he was an older guy. He was a self-proclaimed oldest guy in the room. And he was talking about building the digital annuities. And Kelly, do you remember his question?
When he said, why is it so hard?
Yeah, he's exactly right.
Yeah, it was a very, very poignant moment. He just said, and he said it very slowly, too. Why is this so hard? Because what he was referring to is that he has no trouble filling his press with static work. Like, he can do 1,000 postcards static all day long. He doesn't have any problem. He's making money. He's doing okay. But when it comes to the specific, you know, digital, variable, web to print, all these kind of more, you know, fancy, kind of really, you know, sexy applications, he's having no luck whatsoever. And we both kind of took a step back and said, wow, that's a really great, really honest question. But really the answer to my way of thinking, and I think Bill, you'll agree with me on this, is it's all in your salespeople or whoever it is that's out there trying to make connections with people who might have a need for these kinds of applications. Is you've got to develop the understanding of what the applications are and, more importantly, what they can do. And that's really where, you know, that's what we're talking about with this digital annuity slide here is to really understand why somebody would use a digital application and what they would gain from it. And then, and you know, and somebody even asked us in that presentation, well, I only have one vertical that I'm really strong in. And I said, then you know, reach out even further than you're geographically reaching out right now. If you're the guy for this particular thing and you're in Indianapolis, well, you know, spread your wings a little bit and go a little bit further out and a little bit further out and keep telling that story. Why would you try to reinvent the wheel if you're already doing something really well?
And it's my experience. That bottom bullet point there was a client in Miami. This was many years ago, and the client he made a great comment. He said, we've got this annuity that it just kicks out business. It's great. But I got to tell you, you know, we only have 14 customers that use up almost all of that digital press work. And that comment stuck with me. And when I asked him how he got there, he kind of shrugged his shoulders and said, well, you know what, I've built these niches. When we just go out and see the niche, we know what your problem is. And that's, he said, we just done it over and over again. And he said it with a shrug of his shoulders, like, you know what, really, it wasn't that difficult. Once you identify the applications, so you're looking for that annuity. Let me give you an example here. Here's one from the University of Wisconsin at Madison. And I don't know the printer, and he's giving me permission to talk about this. But here's a job where this is a postgraduate course. So imagine a classroom, a night classroom that's got, say, I don't know, 100 chairs in it. And 50 of the chairs are filled. The other 50 chairs represent pure profit because all the other expenses are taken care of. So if they can plunk one more person in there and charge them whatever, you know, $1,000 for the class, it's $1,000 of pure profit. So what the printer did was they went out and they printed up 6,500 full-color brochures, offset print, and they mailed them out to sneezers or influencers. And they said, hey, if you know of anybody who might be interested in a postgraduate school of banking course, then by all means, please let us know. Here's the 800 number. Here's the URL. We want to identify those people. Once they were identified, I believe there was about 1,100 that were identified, they went to print the job digitally, and they came up with this printed piece that says, even the pros go back to training camp. Come check out our course. Now, you know, Kelly, how repeatable is that? Something like that. What could you do with an application like that?
I would absolutely go to every other college or university that's got a postgraduate program in banking and tell them the story and say, this is what we did, this was the result. Because, again, if you're talking about an 82% increase in attendance, what you want to focus on there is that represented, you know, $75,000 in incremental revenue. And even if the print job cost $10,000, it still means that every dollar they spent brought them $7.50 in incremental revenue. And it probably wouldn't, you know, it probably wouldn't have cost $10,000. But the point is, it shifts the conversation from how much did this program cost me to print to what did this program bring me in revenue? And that's the conversation you want to have with people, is I created this program that created $75,000 in incremental revenue right off the top. So that's why that's why anecdotal selling is so powerful.
And I promise you, this application and the other ones we're going to show you came out of a conversation, not a sales, a big sales presentation or anything, or not any kind of a pitch, but a conversation. And there's a big difference because it's almost an anecdotal sales call through along with us. Now, marketing, you know, when digital first came around, I remember these days, Kelly, I think you were in junior high school at the time. But I remember when some of the big digital manufacturers first came out with this stuff, they had frisbees and they had cozies and they had banners. And the banners said one thing: we've got digital. And they said, if you can put it on disk, we can print from it. That was the original marketing message, because that's when we were told there's an untapped market for digital. Remember, I told you there is no untapped market. That's not the way to get the message out there that you got this equipment. Now, again, focus on your technical superiority. That's the message that you want to get out there. Okay, so you educate these digital customers. I think a lot of it's one-on-one. Did you find that you're training people one-on-one or in seminar symposiums or lunch and learns or what?
For the most part, I would say it was very much a one-on-one conversation, and you have to be very careful about who within the organization you're making this pitch to. This is not somebody that you pitch. You don't pitch this to procurement. You don't necessarily pitch this to an admin. You're pitching this to stakeholders. You're pitching this to somebody who's got a vested interest in the outcome of whatever the program is that they're putting together. And while we're on the subject, yeah, webinars and symposiums and lunch and learns are fantastic, and I absolutely advocate that you do them. But one thing I don't think we mention anywhere in here is that your company should be the first customer of your digital solutions. And what I mean by that is you should be using digital and variable and web to print and all those great things to communicate your capabilities and your strengths to your customers so they can actually see it right there in front of them, what it looks like, and it's coming from you. And it is, printers are notorious for not doing this. In fact, when we asked everybody in the room at Graph Expo how many of them were doing this, I think two people raised their hands and said they were using their digital equipment to promote their own services. And I implore you to create a campaign to tell these stories to your customers using your equipment so that they can see what you're capable of, and it's also a marketing tool for you as well.
But the problem with all this marketing, as I've seen it, is we're just getting out the wrong message. You know, we've got digital is the absolute wrong message. You know, copies as low as was a big thing that was sent out years ago. And it's just, you know what, I remember even some of the trade magazines were talking about the volume of some of these digitally capable printers. It's as if they were feeding whole trees in through the back of the shop and feeding them right into the equipment. And they thought, wow, look at how many clicks this guy's doing. And then within a year, you hear about them going Chapter 11. There was a bunch of them here in the Boston area that were once the darlings. And then, you know, it kind of reminded me of the old Saturday Night Live skit about the company that just made change. That's all we do is make change. You know, how do we make any money off of it? Volume. And I remember connecting those two dots and thinking, yeah, that makes total sense. That's not the message you want to get out. The message you want to get out looks very much like this. Take a look at this. Here's a quick copy printer here in south of Boston. And this guy's in Norwell, Massachusetts. This is years ago. And this is something that he used to send out. A gentleman, very, very sharp. I remember speaking with him. I've talked to him in years. But I remember saying to him, this is very clever. He said, what? What do you mean? I said, well, you're downplaying the equipment. You don't mention what kind of equipment. You talk about the fact that you guys know publishers. And he said, yeah, we found that all the publisher files that came in were wrong, and our customers were so thrilled that we could deal with the software that nobody else wanted to deal with, that we were picking up customers, and here's the kicker, Kelly, without the price conflict, without that question of, and what are you going to charge? So he said, we changed our marketing to be strictly, here's the software programs that we understand. That's how you market digital print. Now, we get to the fun part. This is the part where I say to Kelly, take it. No, this is what we talked about last week at Graph Expo. Engaging that commercial printing sales rep. Kelly, why is this so difficult?
Well, I mean, there's a number of reasons that it's really difficult, and every shop is different because they all have kind of different circumstances and a different scenario. The commercial shops that have 40-inch presses that have had reps that have been selling it for 25 years are finding that their reps don't want to go anywhere near digital because it's too transactional, it's too risky, the sales cycle is longer, and they don't want to jeopardize their current business by introducing something that they don't know, that they're not comfortable with, and that makes them feel kind of ignorant. So that's probably the biggest challenge for most printers out there. Again, if they're coming from that, we're going from commercial into digital. Shops that are solely digital, I think, have it a little bit easier because it's the only game they've got. So they still have to educate these folks and make them feel very comfortable. And that's really where, if you ask most print salespeople, they're going to say that digital makes them feel uncomfortable because they just don't think they know enough. And unfortunately, they've made it into something bigger than it is because it's really not that, it's not as scary and as difficult as they think it is. But the organizations, and I did some research on this prior to our presentation last week, every single owner that I talked to said, we haven't trained them. We've done nothing to train our people. Mm. And that, to me, is the glaring, glaring issue that I hope you guys are all hearing today, is that you've got to give them some training. And, again, everything we've just talked about, what the applications look like, how to be a solution seller, you know, things like that, because it is scary. If you just say, hey, we've got a Canon ImagePress 7000 VP, and it does 70 pages a minute, and it can do this and it can do that, without, again, holding their hand a little bit and showing them how this works, then it isn't really even fair, or even doesn't even make sense to expect that the work would start coming in without any of that. So, again, you're asking them to talk to different kinds of people. You're asking them to go from procurement to marketing. Again, you're talking about they're used to $25,000 orders. Now they're getting $1,000 orders. And in their minds, okay, that means less money, but they're not thinking about what we talked about earlier, which is the repetition, that if you lock somebody into a web store, you've got them for life. And that's kind of the philosophy that you want to be instilling in them, is that if they can lock in one good, solid customer and set them up with a web store or some kind of repeatable programs, then they're just going to cash those commission checks, because we're going to ask you to get out of the way. We're going to say, find it, identify it, sell it, and then don't go, you know, then we'll take it over from here. And we, being our technical people and our CSRs and our press operators and things like that, are going to manage that from there on out. So we just want our salespeople to be able to identify these, you know, get in there, tell a story, figure out what the solution is, and then kind of, again, step out of the way and let the technical people take over.
Kelly, you mentioned training. Where do these guys go for training?
Well, the most logical answer to this, and again, I hope everybody hears this, is you should be going to your equipment vendor. Mm. So every vendor out there has its own version of the business accelerator program, right? It's the how to be successful at digital. You know, it's the we're supporting you, and you know, you buy this big gray box from us, and now we're going to show you how to be successful at it. If you've already got that machine on your floor, and I don't care who made it, I would be going back to the person who sold it to me and saying, I need help. I want you to help me. Now, sometimes that help is going to come with a price tag, and sometimes that help is going to come for free. So, you know, it's all depending on what you need. But what else? There's books out there. There's people like Bill and I who work with people on an individual basis or on a group basis that really understand these concepts and can, you know, and it can, again, show you exactly how to do this. But the point is, whether it comes from your equipment vendor or a book or, you know, somebody like Frank Romano at RIT or whoever, a consultant, whoever, I can't stress enough how important it is to make some sort of investment in your people.
And I want to back up one thing here. That's a huge point here. I want to back up one point, and that is to say, make certain that when you are trying to engage your sales rep, that you speak to them through their wallet. We salespeople will follow the dollar. In fact, when Kelly and I were in Chicago, I held up a bunch of money, and I waved it around, and everyone's eyes moved with the money. If they see that, that proves my point. It's just like, you know, that I would say we want them to be digital dogs. You know, you want them to sniff the application and go find it, and when they come back, we give them this monetary reward. You can't compensate salespeople for digital the same way that you do for commercial. It doesn't work. They will not get as excited about it. You almost have to overcompensate them you know, with special incentives. The first time you get an order, you get an extra $100. You know, when you get so much business from the same account, boom, you get an extra $400, $500. Make it worth their time. Once they catch on, it'll be awesome for them. But you know what? Initially, they're not going to get too excited for all the reasons that we're listing here. It's just, I've seen it firsthand. Now, what do you want them to know? You want the sales rep to know what an application looks like, how to speak to this new buyer. If I'm going to ask Kelly to move out of her comfort zone, get away from the buyer, and go to talk to someone who's more technically competent than she is, I've got to equip her. I've got to give her the tools. But the biggest thing that I can do is to help her to understand what an application looks like. Personally, I read the Wall Street Journal every day, and I see applications for digital and variable every day. You know, I see them in my own personal life, too. This is a piece that, back when there was a Discovery Zone, this was a fantastic example of digital. My daughter Katie, and this is a very old piece, but my daughter Katie was going to a birthday party. My oldest daughter now is 21, and she used to have, when she was a little girl, she went to Discovery Zone for something, you know. And Katie signs in, and she signs, of course, she's very proud of herself. In fact, she can write everything. So she wrote down on the registration form her name, her address, and her birthday. Well, a year later, this piece shows up in the mail that says, Catherine, celebrate your birthday with Barbie, only at Discovery Zone. So here is a offset printed on one side, digitally printed variable data on the other side that was addressed to Catherine Farquharson. This, by the way, Kelly, is before she became Katie with an I, with a heart over the I, which is what she is now, of course, because, you know, she's a girl. But here's a great example. And I grabbed this and said, well, there's a terrific piece that would look great as a digitally printed piece. Here's another one. This is a financial services company in Boston that sent this to me years ago along with a return envelope. And it says, you're cordially invited to receive our publications on relevant subjects of interest to investors. Please place your business card in the enclosed envelope. The problem with this piece is they haven't asked me what's relevant. They haven't asked anything about me. So how in the world are they going to market back to me, and why would they do that when they could have said, tell us who you are, how old are you, how many kids do you have, what do you do for work, even how much money do you make, what are your goals? Simple things that would allow them to direct their marketing piece back and have it hit more solid ground. Of course, there's also new opportunities. Here we are coming into election season. I'll tell you what. Here's one of your guys, Kelly. Is this one of your senators, McKenna? Do you ever make it?
No, he is not one of our senators. And he's U.S. Senate, so no, he didn't make it.
But you know, one of the reasons why he didn't make it, Kelly, is that he went county to county throughout Illinois, and he said, "What are the three top things that are important to you?" And then he kicked out variable data printed postcards that said, "Here are the three most important things to me," and he marketed, he mailed those back to that county. But every county was different.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, great. So there's new opportunities. Somebody was thinking at least, right? What we would do then is we would come up with five killer applications. So say to our salespeople, here's five things you can look for. Kelly, you mentioned universities, you know, the application process, for example. Mm-hmm. There might be a fundraising thing in there. You might want to do something with banks. I don't know, life insurance, automobiles, whatever. There are myriad applications out there that are available for you to look at. So teach your sales reps five. Now, Kelly, again, if you're my sales rep, tell me what you need to know about an application. I can't just say to you, go talk to a bank, right?
No, I mean, it starts with what is the problem that the customer might be facing, so you can kind of approach it from the standpoint of a lot of companies just like yours are having this issue or having this, you know, this is a circumstance. And again, you want to find out is this a problem for you or is this something that is on your mind? And again, what was the solution? What was the application? We created a four-part marketing campaign for, you know, their customers that looked like this. and this was the result. They had, you know, they got 19 new customers, all with a all that brought in an extra $100,000 in business. So it was $1.9 million in business, and yeah, the program cost $50,000. But again, you're shifting from the $50,000 job to the $1.9 million in incremental revenue that it brought. So that's, again, that kind of shift in that the way that we want them to think differently. So it's understanding who the customer is, what their problem is, what the solution is, and what it does for them, and then what the results are.
There was a guy years ago, Kelly, when I was on speaking tours for a big digital equipment company, and a guy named Bob Takac, and I lost touch with Bob. He's a terrific, terrific guy. I hope he's still in the industry because he's just one of the gems. And Bob would get up there, and he would show live examples of the web-to-print applications, the storefront that he put together. Now, this guy was doing this before anybody. This was a big deal back then, and the printers were just in awe. He had this huge, huge crowd around him afterward, kind of like, you know, you at Graph Expo, and I was sitting over there talking to myself. But, you know, he'd get up there, and he would say, here's what happened. And this guy owned the file. You know, he had this website built, and, oh, by the way, he did the print. And so I'd get up there afterward, and I'd say, who wants to be Bob Takac's competition? Which one of you could walk into that company and say, yeah, I can do that for you? Nobody. Nobody. Why? Because Bob owned the customer. He put the digital file right in the middle and said, this is what I own. This is my superior. This is exactly what I do best. And, oh, by the way, I can print it for you as well. So I'll make sure that Malazzi is spelled correctly, that Farquharson is spelled correctly, that Leskuski is spelled correctly. You know, let's make sure we get that right. Why? Because that's important to Malazzi, Farquharson, and Leskuski. So we want you to understand that with all due respect to the equipment manufacturers, especially to our friends at OSEI, put that digital file out there. Focus on that. You know, have the best prepress equipment and the best prepress people that you can. Train those salespeople, but get that thinking in your head that you've got to get out of print, you've got to get into marketing. You've got to ask qualifying questions. You've got to solve problems. You've got to learn the story behind the printed piece. If you can get that, then guess what you get to do, Kelly? You get to charge a lot for your solutions. And that's the thing. You know, this is one of the questions that blows my mind when I would talk about digital. People say, Bill, how do I charge for this stuff? My response is, you know what? If you're doing your job right, if you've asked all the qualifying questions, you'll know what to charge because you'll know what you're saving them or what you're doing for them. You know, you'll know the advantage or how, as you said earlier, Kelly, how digital printing is either lowering the usage cost of the document or increasing the value of the document. So it really is a rather simple process. Our friend who asked, why is it so hard? Get those sales reps to understand how to ask the qualifying questions. If you are not in digital right now, you've come to the right place. Take a look at this. You know what? Here's what it takes to be successful. And Kelly, I want you to read on this because this is my slide based on my experience. The guys that I've talked to, the companies that I've talked to, the women that I've talked to who said, how is it you're successful? The number one thing they said was, we were committed to this. We saw this. We went after it. We didn't stick our toe in the water. We went after it. Second thing is, we built a team. We went and assessed our commercial salespeople. We decided, do we need someone from the outside? Do we need someone specifically for digital, or can we take our existing sales force and train them? Then we looked at our technical skills. We said, man, that's exactly right. We've got to make the digital file the center of it all. Then we went after first our existing customers. We went to our existing customers and said, here's this great idea. How can this help you? Now, what's fascinating about these first 5 points, including the ones that said we want to attract technically competent customers, all of those points are either free or cheap. Just to think about that stuff, to plan for it, to assess, and then you buy the box. The ones that were failing were the ones that bought the box and then said, we'll figure it out. You know what, this is just another piece of equipment. And this is the way it goes because I saw a pie chart and a graph. That's not the way it works. Think, buy. And you heard Kelly talk about training the sales rep. Kelly, let me ask you something. If I was planning to put a digital piece of equipment on my floor in January, when should I schedule training? When should I start talking to my salespeople about what applications look like?
Now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would definitely say now. And there's a couple things I want to add to this because, number one, the first bullet point here is very, very important. Every shop I ever worked in, I can say that the biggest accounts we had were brought in by the owners. The owners were the ones that had the stake in it. They were the ones that had the contacts, and they were the ones that went out there and made it happen because they had the power to, because they could say to, you know, a multi-million dollar account, yes, we can do that. And then they would come back and say, okay, now we need to hire four IT guys to, you know, to back up what we just sold. And another thing that is very important, because we did talk a little bit about the customer's data, but I would assemble a team of partners around me as well. One of them would be a data person. So, and what I mean by that is someone at like an InfoUSA, that when I sit down with a company who sells $50,000, you know, closet remodels, and I ask them, what does your target customer look like? And they tell me that it's people that's home value is worth more than $500,000 and that makes more than $400,000 a year in certain zip codes. I can say to him, I can get you those names. And all I have to do is call up my data guy and give him the parameters, and he will sell me the information for $75 per thousand, and I can then go back and resell that data to my customer, and it makes me a turnkey solution provider. A lot of people, a lot of printers are scared of that element of it, but all you need to do is get a contact at an InfoUSA type of company, and then you can be the one to provide the data. If they don't have it, you can get it for them. So that's a very important part of all of this, too. So it's definitely being able to tell the stories and have the good salespeople that are on board with it and aren't fighting you tooth and nail about it, and having that full solution at your fingertips. So it is very important to have at least somebody there that technically can, you know, can put all this together. Some places have full IT teams, rooms full of guys that just do the programming all day long. But it depends. It depends on what you're doing at the time, so you can grow that over time as you gain more customers.
Outstanding. Well, Dave, I want to pull you back in. There is our contact information. Thank you very much to OSE for sponsoring this summer series. Mr. Luskowski, you're on.
Thank you, Bill, and thank you, Kelly. And, you know, I think to thank OSE again, and one of the things that we didn't mention, as Kelly was mentioning about, you know, using the vendors, OSE recently launched a new website, a new business development website called mypressgo.com. And when you get there, you know, there's a lot of tools, a lot of things for digital printing that's on that site that you can utilize. You know, one of the things, Kelly, that you mentioned a lot was you know, kind of going around procurement and getting to the decision makers. You know, I think for a lot of salespeople that becomes a conundrum because they still have to, you know, deal with the procurement person on some level. Do you have any quick tips or thoughts of ways to kind of get upstream and not completely alienate the person that you have worked with on the procurement side?
That's a really, really good question. I think it's a really tough question. I mean, in some cases, you may almost want to take a team approach, and maybe someone else from your organization goes in and talks to the marketing person, and you figure out, you know, a way to split the commission or something like that. Another way would be to, you know, to just kind of have that, you know, kind of do that, go around them and hope that the connections don't get made and that you really do legitimately have a reason to go and have this very different conversation with a completely different, you know, part of the organization. And the other one would be to explain to your procurement guy or girl what it is that you're trying to accomplish and get their blessing, because it, you know, in many respects it isn't a threat to, you know, their day, you know, what they're trying to accomplish. It's just if they like you and they want you to be successful and this is the only way for you to do it, you may just want to get their blessing and you know, go that way.
Okay, thanks. We did have a question about, and I know we kind of covered this throughout the entire webinar, but it was from somebody that said, what's the best avenue to move from salespeople to marketing? They said they're a small company, and I would be the person that would become the marketing expert, but how do I do it? And I wanted to add just a couple of things that you both had said, and I think, you know, it's getting into the mind of your customer as well. And you know, we have sister publications within North American Publishing Company like Target Marketing Magazine, Direct Marketing IQ, and you would not believe the attendance that we get from marketers on, you know, just very basic information, whether it's on QR codes or pearls or variable data printing. So subscribing to those magazines, getting on those websites, getting into those social media sites where those people, you know, go in and talk, there's a wealth of information just on LinkedIn and direct marketing LinkedIn groups of people just asking for information that if you can become a thought leader there, you can, you know, really make a difference. And Bill, I had a question for you. You talked about owning the file, and I think, you know, we talked a lot, or you touched on it a few times about databases and how important that is as well. And you touched on it a little bit earlier about people that may say, "Hey, I don't do any printing anymore. You know, I'm only doing social or using Constant Contact for email or websites or what, you know." What about using those tools, social media and email in particular, to help you build a database for a customer? You know, is that something that you've seen in the past of ways that printers can get in and help somebody build a targeted database to then go out and sell variable data?
Not only that, Dave, but I do it myself. You know, I mean, I think that all the social media features are terrific. You know, the different sites are great. But not one of them is a standalone.
Right.
You know, I think they all augment each other. You know, I use my database, my email database to build my business in a certain way. I also use other social media sites and tools to build my brand. And, you know, it's hard to connect the dots sometimes. Nobody ever calls and says, gee, I saw you at this one place, and therefore I bought from you. So, yeah, it all works together. It's all in combination of each other. You know, it's all in unison.
Great. Well, it looks like we're just about out of time for today. And, again, on behalf of OSEI and Printing Impressions, I do want to thank you for attending today's webinar. As Bill and Kelly both mentioned, if you want to go back at any time and view the first three webinars in this series, you can simply visit www.piworld.com and click on the webinar tab. And while you're there, for those of you looking for more information on sales tips for digital printing and just what's out there in the market, please visit the blog page for more compelling content from both Bill and Kelly. Bill always has a Monday morning video that is on our daily newsletter today on PI World, and there's also some terrific entertainment value there as well. And before you leave, please make sure to take a minute to fill out the brief survey that's going to appear on your screen. Your feedback is always much appreciated, and it definitely influences the webinars that we bring to you in the future. So, again, don't hesitate to contact Bill and Kelly directly. Thank you again for attending this Printing Impressions webinar, and thank you again to OSEI, and have a great day, everybody.